KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in San Francisco in Upper Haight, where there's never a dull moment.
South San Jose.
Very green North Berkeley.
Cupertino.
And Milpitas.
Coming up, we go to Oakland to learn about a program designed to help college graduation rates rise.
I think it gave a lot of people who weren't planning on going to college, gave them a boost and a kick, because like towards the end is when everybody just started just grinding, going to class, getting stuff done.
Then we'll follow a teenager from El Salvador as he navigates his senior year of high school in San Francisco.
You don't know what I'm suffering though. Like, I gotta wake up every day to work, and I come to school because I want to.
That's coming up today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. A program that plans to triple the number of Oakland students who graduate from college is entering its second year. The city's calling it the Oakland Promise. So far, it's provided scholarships for 700 students. Reporter Cassidy Rosenblum checks in on how it's going.
Jaden Stark sits in his East Oakland living room on a well-loved maroon sofa.
It's a whole lot of really intelligent people in Oakland, and I feel like you don't get to see it because of the violence.
Violence like what Starks and his peers from Castlemont High School saw growing up. One survey says about a third of students there have already lost friends or family to violence. In an environment like that, SAT scores can seem like the least important thing in the world.
I'm going to keep it real. Some people out here don't want their kids to go to school. They just want them to stay home and work to help them out with like bills, because they can barely do it themselves.
Starks is a gentle giant and the former captain of the Castlemont Knights. Eventually, he wants to be a social worker for kids in Oakland. He says something changed at his high school last year when Mayor Libby Schaff visited.
I remember when the mayor came and she announced the Oakland Promise. I think it gave a lot of people who weren't planning on going to college, gave them a little boost and a kick. Because, like, towards the end is when everybody just started just grinding, going to class, getting stuff done.
Oakland Promise is a program that gives students with solid attendance and a decent GPA scholarship opportunities. Money ranging from $1,000 to $16,000. So far, 700 students at three high schools have received the scholarships. Starks was awarded $1,000 to attend Laney Community College.
People that you didn't see, like, every day. You probably see them, like, 3 to 2 times a week. They were just there after class, before class, just getting stuff done.
Maggie Kralshore says this is the goal of the Oakland Promise, to shift the culture around college until everyone is buzzing about it. She works in the mayor's office and says they're already seeing an impact.
At our Oakland Promise schools last year, we saw an increase of 6% for college enrollment, despite declines over all of Oakland Unified School District.
Still, getting students into college is very different than getting them to graduate from college. That idea, called college persistence, is something nonprofit East Bay College Fund thinks a lot about. They've been coaching kids through college since 2002, and their college graduation is 80% in a city where just 10% of students ever walk across that stage. They're so good at what they do, the city gave them the Oakland Promise money to dispense. Their downtown Oakland office is a hive of energy.
Hey, Francis.
At a table in the middle, college freshman Christian Solano fills out his paperwork.
So this is like what I can and can't do with my check. So It's my scholarship check.
So what can you get with it?
I know I can't pay tickets, my parking tickets with this. So as far as that goes. but you could pay for like your tuition and stuff like your books, anything related to your college expenses.
The vibe is infectious, and it seems fueled by chocolate? Oreos and Halloween candy cover the table. And when I sit down to talk with director Eric Geico, he's showing me a poster of alumni with one hand and drinking a glass of chocolate milk with the other.
This is pictures of our scholars throughout the year. The new one with the Oakland Promise, we wouldn't have a poster that would be able to fit all the scholars in.
That's a big deal. Geico's lean staff is responsible for way more students now that they're partnering with the Oakland Promise. They depend on a cadre of volunteer mentors who help students through the academic or financial roadblocks that might otherwise cause them to drop out.
Some of the other problems are what students call not like going through it. It could either be a lot of family issues.
I think of Starks. On the day we met up, he had actually skipped class, not to play hooky, but to take care of his grandmother. Despite the challenges, Giko thinks the mayor's moonshot mission is not just possible, but a moral imperative.
As you know, Oakland is changing a lot, and we want to have families who have been here to stay here.
But he says tripling the number of college grads in Oakland isn't something his organization can do alone. It will take the entire town getting involved.
In Oakland, I'm Cassidy Rosenblum for Cross Currents.
Cassidy is a student at UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. If you live in San Francisco, you've probably seen Mission High School. It's that big, beautiful building right along the border of Dolores Park, and it's home to almost 1,000 students. Our friends at Snap Judgment followed three of these students for a full year. Producers Liz Mack and Anna Sussman, who both used to work with us here at KALW, bring us the story of a boy named Alex. And a quick note, KALW's license is held by the San Francisco Unified School District.
It's around 3 or 4 today, and Alex brings me to one of his most cherished high school hangouts.
Okay, so tell me where we are right now.
We are at the weight room at Mission High School. We're about to get crazy.
What kind of crazy?
Alex is a regular here. So regular that his classmates at Mission High actually call him the buff guy. And he is this tough kid who goes through life kind of like the way he lifts weights. He has this determination and laser focus.
Today, I'm going to do chest and legs. I'm going to work my thighs, so I'm going to do some squats.
Wait, you have a tattoo?
Yeah, I got two.
What does it say?
This is a quote. It says, I am the architect of my own future.
This tattoo is huge. It's across his whole chest in cursive, and it says, I am the architect of my own future. And it's kind of been a touchstone for Alex for the last 4 years. He's been living mostly on his own ever since he got here, and he's had to do everything by himself. Like when I go with him to the orthodontist one day.
From then and now,
Alex is getting his braces checked today. He has to pay the balance for these appointments every month, but he's behind on his payments.
Huh? Because you have a balance, and in order for us to see you, you gotta be current with that balance.
Okay.
So he puts down $500, half of it in cash. This isn't money from his mom or his dad. Alex pays for everything on his own.
I mean, it's only like $200, like $180 every month. So that's cool.
If you're wondering why a high schooler is paying for orthodontist bills by himself, it's because Alex is here alone. A few years ago, when he was 16, he came to the U.S. from El Salvador. He had no friends, he had no family he could count on, and he didn't speak English. While his classmates were worried about earning good grades and getting into college, he was trying to figure out how to make enough money to eat.
And I was doing bad. Like, I was trying to get out of my situation, trying to get out of this life, trying to kill myself, basically. Because I was like, why me? Why am I having this life?
After a year or two, he eventually made some friends. But they didn't get what he was going through. They were high school kids, and they saw his life and thought that being on his own with no adult telling him what to do sounded great.
And I was like, no, that's not what I want. You don't know what I'm suffering, though. Like, I gotta wake up every day to work. And I come to school because I want to.
Does it make you mad that you can't just be like a regular teenager?
Yeah, all the time, yeah. And I'm have like a 40 years old life. and I'm just 19.
Alex just said he lives like a 40-year-old when he's only 19. But at the same time, he also lives the life of a senior in high school. And this year, things are looking up. Alex has a best friend, Jamie. He has a girlfriend at school. And he started to plan out his future. He wants to go to college. He wants to become an engineer. But there's still this one thing.
It's been over 6 months already.
Alex is waiting. After he came from El Salvador and got a job, figured out the language, and saved up, he got a lawyer. And he filed paperwork to ask for asylum. Basically, to get permission to stay here in the U.S. legally.
What happens if you don't, if you get denied? You don't think about it?
Yeah, I had that in my mind, though, but I don't want to think about it. That's not an option for me. Well, I will try. If you know, I can get nothing from in that way, I will try another way. Yeah, I can get denied in that way. I will try many ways. I mean, I don't give up so easy, though, until I get it.
There is no way this guy is going to casually give up and return himself to El Salvador. But to understand why Alex is applying for legal status and why he won't give up, you have to know more about where he came from and how he got here.
A few years ago, Alex lived in El Salvador with his four younger siblings, his mom, and his stepdad. They had just opened up an auto body shop.
We were doing good. Like,
it was a small business, and they had so little money that they split the shop in half with a clothesline and hung a blanket over it. Alex and his family lived and slept in the back, behind the blanket. And Alex's stepdad wasn't really the kind of guy you could rely on. When it came to running the auto shop,
he wasn't even showing up for days.
So Alex and his little brother Ronaldo started running the shop themselves. They'd man the shop and fix power steering. Kind of muddled their way through it. Alex was just 16 at the time. He was actually there at the shop one evening when these men came in.
Like 5 p.m. in the evening.
These were gangsters, saying that in order to protect the business, they'd need a tax from the auto shop. Basically, unless they paid up, the men would make trouble.
Either you pay us or some member of your family gonna die. At that point, it was only me there, right? Only my family is behind a blanket.
And because Alex was the only one there, they told him he was responsible. They said he'd have to pay them $300 a week, that's U.S. dollars, in order to stay alive.
So we were scared, like, what's going to happen?
Did you think you were going to die?
Yeah. They don't give me. There's not a way we can get $300 a week every week.
There weren't any other options. He had to escape to the U.S., and his mom decided she was going to go with him. So the two headed north with the group, crossing through Mexico. When they reached a Mexican town at the border, they tried to cross into the U.S. through the woods in the earliest hours of the morning. Alex walked in a line of people. That's when they heard helicopters overhead. And the coyote, the one leading the group they were in, stopped the line of people following him, saying he'd go and check it out. He told them to wait.
And then past 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, waiting there. And it's already daytime. It's already like 8 in the morning. And then everybody starts saying, they left. They left us. Everybody like getting like freaking out, like, what can I do?
And then, you know, they didn't know which way the border was. And they were scared of getting caught by the agents on patrol. So when they saw some heading their way, they ran.
Everybody started running crazy. Like, you see people running everywhere. Like little ants. Like, it was just like that, crazy. So that's what I got separated with my mom.
You have to imagine this panic and this confusion with all these terrified people running everywhere. And in the commotion, Alex and his mom were split apart. Alex isn't sure how, but his mom managed to make it to San Francisco. Alex didn't. At the border, he was taken to a sort of shelter in Harlingen, Texas. He was 16, and he was alone. He was there for 3 months, until the shelter managed to make contact with some family in the United States who Alex didn't even know.
When Alex was released, he met up with his mom in San Francisco. They were able to stay with distant family and started their life together here in the U.S. His relatives wanted Alex to get a full-time job so he could contribute to the household. But Alex wanted to get an education, so he went to Mission High during the day and then worked jobs at night, bussing tables. And that's how his life in the States was. Until one day, when his mom left. She didn't even tell Alex where. And soon after, his relatives told him he had to leave too.
What do you miss most about your family?
What I miss about, I don't know. I never had one. I don't know. I'm just here by myself.
But you really think you have no feelings about it? You don't feel like you feel like mad at your mom or like sad or anything?
Not anymore. I don't even remember to have a mom though until you brought her out today.
Alex told me once that he actually saw his mom on the street in San Francisco. He says she saw him too, but they kept walking. They passed right by each other without saying hello. I asked him once what it's like to be without your family during the holidays.
So, like, what was your Christmas like last year?
I was by myself, like in my room, and that's it. Sleeping.
What about the two years before that?
The same thing. Yeah, by myself.
What? How do you feel about Christmas?
Oh, I just, yeah, I kind of be sad though, but like, you know, I just face it. Christmas is about a family, right? I don't got that.
In the spring, Alex tells us he has news. He got a letter about his immigration status.
You mean I just opened it up? He says, okay, your son, okay, Alex, okay, your son. Okay.
He's mumbling, but the verdict, Alex can stay.
So what's it like to read that?
Good. Happy. Release. I mean, best feeling ever. I don't know. It's just, you're happy. Like, you're so happy. Like let's say there's 10 opportunities, right, that you cannot take, that you cannot take advantage of it because you don't got no papers, right? But when you got the papers, you got so much opportunities. Like, you can do anything you want. Now I feel like I can do anything.
So, do you have it with you?
I have my work permit.
What's it like to hold that?
Yeah, I can kiss it. Look, it's good. No, you know how many millions of people want this? And I got it. Right? That's the feeling I feel.
He can get an ID, a social security card, and he can apply for scholarships, which means he can go ahead with plans for college. So with the big question settled, Alex can finally enjoy what's left of senior year. I'm at school with Alex, and he doesn't really seem to want to talk today.
Is this a bad day for you?
No, this is just a regular day.
Do you feel like talking today?
I'm normal.
It turns out his girlfriend is crying in the next room over, and he tells me they've been arguing a lot. That's when he gets this text. It's a paragraph long.
I hate you so much. Don't text me, don't call me, don't do nothing at all. I don't want nothing to do with you. So please, I ask you never to approach me or speak to me ever again. After this, I won't get any text or nothing. Bye.
What'd you just write back to her?
Goodbye then.
So you guys broke up?
Yeah, we broke up. Like, so now I gotta try plan B.
Wait, what are you doing right now?
I'm gonna text somebody else for prom date. Prom's like 2 weeks. I gotta be ready. Watch me.
Hello? Tamia, where you at? Oh man, I was just wanting to talk about the prom thing. All right, I'll have to hit you up later. Just got a prom date.
Wait, you didn't even ask her.
You didn't hear what I said? I don't mean I'm not heartbroken though, but like, come on, man, I gotta keep going. I mean, breakup's a breakup, right? Hurts, yes. You decide if you wanna be down the whole time for months, weeks, and things, or you just keep going with your life. I'm gonna choose to keep going with my life because I don't put myself in that situation. I'll be sad through the last weeks of senior year, man. Come on, man. No, that cannot happen to me.
The morning on the day of prom, I get a text from Alex. All caps. Help me, please. His plan B has fallen through. The last minute, his date wasn't allowed to go to prom, and because he doesn't have anyone else to ask, he asks me for help. Later that night, we meet up with him in front of the Presidio Golf Club. He steps out of his Uber.
Okay, so we got a date for you. We got a date for you. This is Jasmine.
How you doing? Thank you for coming.
And here's where we took matters into our own hands. Liz asked around if anyone could find a date for Alex, and one of our producers, Jasmine Aguilera, said, sure, I'll go to prom.
You know what? I forgot my course session at home. I was in a rush. I fall asleep.
It's okay. All right, you want to go in?
Yeah, let's go.
It's a little awkward, but here's Alex. A couple of months ago, he didn't know if he was legal to stay in the U.S. Now, he's on the dance floor of his senior prom.
With a radio producer following him everywhere, hanging onto his every word.
You're listening to an excerpt of a Snap Judgment episode following Alex, a teenager from El Salvador who's living here completely on his own as he completes his senior year at San Francisco's Mission High. So right now we're going to skip ahead to graduation.
This is the end of high school. It's like, it's hard though. It's hard to explain.
Were you ever like, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it?
Yeah. Most of the time, yeah. That's why I'm excited, though, because I made it. I'm happy because I made it on my own.
Tell me about Alex and the signs.
Yeah, you know, it took me by surprise. I mean, he came up and said, look, I'm hoping that some of you guys could make signs for me. And I was like, signs for what? He's like, you know, for graduation. I want signs. Signs that say, congratulations, Alex. And I thought, oh, wow. I hadn't done this before, but I've never had a student ask for it. And then I realized there's literally nobody else that is going to be there for him. For a 19-year-old boy to come up and say, can you make a sign saying congratulations? Yeah, that was really sweet. I mean, there's no way we were going to mess that one up.
So proud of you, man. Look at you. You're ready to graduate.
Yeah,
I kind of messed up on it a little bit, but I wanted you to have something, at least some kind of sign.
Hang that in your wall.
Definitely, yeah.
That's all yours, man.
Thank you.
We'll be holding it up as you walk.
Thank you.
The kids pile into the elevator, which they haven't gotten to do until this moment because it's off limits for students. They push the button, and they look up, waiting for the doors to close and the elevator to take them up to whatever comes next.
Goodbye. Bye, guys. You're Goodbye. On your life.
Bye.
Good luck.
Hurry up, Alex. Let's go.
You're gonna miss your ride to the elevator. Come on,
Alex. Okay.
Bye. Love you guys.
Bye, Chris.
Bye.
That story was produced by Liz Mack, Anna Sussman, and the team at Oakland's own Snap Judgment. It's part of Snap's recent episode called Senior Year Mixtape. You can listen to the whole show at snapjudgment.org. And that's our show. Today's Cross Currents team includes Atemo Atan, Angela Johnston, Nina Gensler-Debs, Amber Miles, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega-Welch, and Josh Wilson. Our engineers are James Rowlands, Gabe Graben, and Jackie Sajiko. The line producer is Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by percussionist and saxophonist Smith Dobson. He'll perform tomorrow night at San Francisco's Club Deluxe. The show starts at 10 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. ¶¶